Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Someone once said that the worth of a book is to be measured by what you can carry away from it. If that's true, then the book that I'm going to introduce you to tonight might just turn out to be one of the most valuable books you may ever encounter. In creating her book Inside Out, Revealing the Mysteries of Creation, author and researcher Karen Elkins has produced the kind of breathtakingly stunning work of art that wouldn't be out of place in a museum or on a thinking person's coffee table. But even more importantly, according to Thrive movie producer and writer Foster Gamble, this book deserves to be regarded as the secret teaching of all ages for our times. Karen Elkins is an award-winning author, speaker, researcher, event producer, and the creator-designer of Science to Sage e-magazine, which provides a platform for leading-edge scientists, philosophers, inspired artists, and innovative thinkers. Karen Elkins joins me now to discuss her life, her work, interviewing and hosting some of the leading names in the arenas of science and consciousness, and of course, how and why she was moved to curate what is being hailed as the most comprehensive and compelling synthesis of modern science, ancient wisdom, and timeless art, melded into a revolutionary view of the universe. Karen Elkins, welcome.
Thank you. Love the introduction.
Well, I mean, it truly is a stunning, stunning. I come across a lot of books, you know, some pass through, some go on my shelves. Very few I want to put on the coffee table and show to everybody who walks into my living room. But this definitely qualifies as that. So congratulations, Karen. It really is. It's stayed with me ever since I read it because it contains so much wisdom, and I can't remember who of the many, many big names that gave you testimonials for this book actually said that this is a book that really shifts your perceptions. But believe me, it does. It does. So Foster Gamble, producer of the Thrive movie, said Inside Out should come with a warning. Here we go. That opening it might cause lost time, slipped appointments, altered states, experiences of bliss, changes in worldview, and deep gratitude for you and for our participation in creation. What I want to know is, this is such a monumental piece of work. I mean, it's huge and it's beautiful and it is packed to overflowing. How long did it take you to put it all together?
What did it take? A lot of time. What did it take for me to put it together? It was through doing 60 magazines, through actually being still and listening to what needed to come next and to be open. So, yeah, it has got, 60 scientists in it. It has my own downloads. It's just riddled with mystery and questions and lots of answers. So it was, I was woken up from a dream. I don't know, a voice saying, get out of bed, you're doing a book. And as you and I have talked, I'm a bit dyslexic. So it was like, you've got to be kidding. You know, I'm not going to write much. but that's the beauty of it. And it is, like you, I've done radio and I do the magazines and stuff. You pictures take you to another place. And that's what the book does. The book is a constant reminder of, oh, see it, see it, see it. Because you can talk about it, but until you see it, you go, ooh. And so I allow for the ooh factor.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are some books that are, you want to pick up and just take a little sign bite soundbite out of it, and then you want to, you know, spend some time digesting that and processing it. And you know, I read your book over the period of about a week. That was 300 pages, maybe 2 weeks, and I didn't have an awful lot of time that I could allocate to it, but I wanted to read every single page. And it was a book that I needed to go away and think about and go, oh wow, yeah, that is so right, and my God, that's amazing. And there's the answer to this. And all of those epiphanies and ahas that you really want from a book. It's the kind of book that, you know, you've got all of your relatives and friends who think you're a bit kooky or a bit of a woo-woo weirdo for being into all of this stuff. And they go, yeah, where's the science? That you could just hand it to them and go, there, take a look at that. You know, conversation over. That's all you need to do.
It does take the woo-woo factor out of the woo-woo. It actually explains everything very simply, very systematically. Having done lots of interviews with lots of scientists, you go back to some of the basic fundamental questions that defy why things work. And if we all come from quote-unquote stardust, and if everything is made of only three things, which goes to the trinity of everything, from, what is it, Dr. Pollack says, from water, particles, to light, and if all that we are is an arrangement of those in some form that comes to light, then we literally are the light of the world. We are the living waters because it is part of the living matrix, which these is the aqueous solution that creates all reality. But my question was, how does God create? That was my fascination as a kid. Wow, there's no one kind of flower. There's no one kind of tree. There's no one kind of people. There's no one kind of anything. So God must be this amazing designer. And so the book takes you through the designing idea of how he weaves his light into reality and into the world. And it happens as above, so below, so within. And I love this part, so the soul. And that's the hermetic principles. And when you look at it, everything runs on charge and electric, based on an electric universe. It's fascinating. And then you have to say, oh, I get it. There's a source. And through this golden weave thread of the, like the golden ratio, it creates your ears, it creates your eyes, it creates your shape. You begin to see that those same weaves and that same shape is an outer space. It's what creates ferns, how you unfold, how everything unfolds. And then you get to go, there is a source. There is something that is weaving this web for us to experience. It's fascinating.
It is absolutely fascinating, and it's no accident that in numerology, 3 is the number of creation. You know, one of the things I loved about the book is how affirmative it is. What interested me particularly, because, you know, I'm always watching out for synchronicity, is that when we got to the part about sound, I mean, I've recently been ghostwriting a book that required a hell of a lot of research into the science of, you know, of healing and light, sound, music, colour, etc. So a lot of the material you were affirming, confirming for me what I'd already discovered, and some of the people that you were talking to and writing about was just interesting because I'd also been looking at their work, and that excited me because, you know, when you come across these things that you've been thinking about for years, and I wonder how that works, and then suddenly somebody gives you the answers. All these little light bulbs go on, and that's exciting.
It is exciting. That's how I felt like every time I found a new piece of the puzzle when I thought the book could be done, and another little piece of the web came in, it was like, whoa, that's awesome. So when you think about, when you talk about science and sound and healing, if you think on our dimension, we basically live on the electric magnetic spectrum. And as we come through, there's microwave, this wave, and all these. And when we come to this point, it is color. It is a sound frequency. So everything from chemistry to the flowers to, you are considered human, H-U-E-M-A-N, hue, the hues of the light of what comes into existence. So we know that color heals. They use, when you get chandra, what do? They give you a bit of pink to sedate people in hospitals. They use pink for a bit. And all colors have a purpose and a frequency, mm-hmm. from tomatoes to oranges to what we eat. All are color. And we know that these colors create healing. You can also project them. And what we don't think about is when we think of what it's projected in, it's still part of the ethereal part. Whether you look at water, we don't think of it like, think of humidity. What's in the air? There's still water. It's still coming through. And everything moves and spins. So when we look at fire, it spins. When we look at water, think of eddies, it spins. Yes. Right?
Yeah.
And we're spinning ourselves into geometry of motion. So go ahead.
Just here's a little snippet. Years and years ago, I was reading one of, what's her name? Sun Signs, the big astrology book that was so big back in the 80s. I can't remember the name of the astrologer, but anyway.
Linda something?
Yeah. And she wrote another book in which she covered lots of subjects like color and all kinds of things. And in there, I read a little snippet that said, if you want to hold back age or reverse age, you need to spin, but you need to spin anti-clockwise. And that made me think about Sufi dancers, and it made me think about, I wonder why you need to spin. But of course, here are the answers.
Spin. Molecules spin. Everything spins.
Everything spins. You know, years ago, when I was a child, I didn't know what I believed in. Like you, I was a bit of a science geek. I was always looking for answers. And one of my biggest frustrations was the thought that I might die before I got the answers to all my questions. And so there have been so many answers through my life. And it's almost like your book is giving me, you know, right there, if anybody's looking for the answers, pick up this book, because right there they are. I could die happy now. I mean, I don't intend to. I'm sure there's more to learn. But it has given me a great deal of satisfaction and gratification.
Thank you. Thank you. It is a weave of light, color, sound. It is all of the elements. So if we look at what creates life, in the ancient traditions, it's liquid, solids, gases. No, it's water, fire, air, right? And when you look at modern science, it's liquid, solid, gases, plasma. They are the same thing. We're talking about virtually the same thing. So we're just beginning to awaken to what they already knew. And that's what's really fascinating, because I think in the ancient times, they would talk about things sort of metaphorically, but actually they really aren't. And then when you start looking at the science and compare, you say they're one and the same. I think when I, like you, I'm an explorer, so I've looked at many traditions. And when I looked at the Vedic stuff, what dawned on me was, oh, I get it. God is a scientist. He does it. This is how he weaves it in. Here's how things are, the cause and effect, and how things happen. And then you go, oh, okay. And I'm still working on mastering my own elemental self. But at least I know I can't get off the ride. It's me that needs to be responsible for it.
So tell me, when you were woken up by this voice saying, hey, get up, you're going to write a book, was there any more information, any more direction than that? Or was it just go and look at what you've done and then write something? Or was there a real plan?
No, it was get out of bed, and I had to go down to the computer, and I had to write down the process that he wanted. It was male voice. And it was interesting because I've gone back and looked, and it's not stayed that way. And over the course of the time of working on the book, there was a point where it said you need to go back to the elements. So I will tell you, I have worked this thing through more than one time. And it would be that I just had to be quiet. I had to go back. And the hardest part of the book is when you understand that when we look at liquid, solids, and gases, they're the same thing. They're just in different states and different levels of density. And that's when I got the aha that it is one. And until I understood that, so when I had doing the book where there's a water section and an air section and a, you know, the fire section, I could have put pretty much anything anywhere. It was, where do I put it where it makes the most sense? Because mm-hmm. there's pictures in there of water that you see on fire. You see air in water. You see air bubbles, not just the bubbles, but literally tubes. Because I do the magazine, the work that I have, the art that I have from scientists is riveting. I have something from Steve Ross that shows how the Nemoscope and the Rife, Royal Rife, shows for the first time particles arranging in triangular structures. Light arranges in triangular structures, and water arranges in triangular structures. There's your triad. There's your prism. That's the one thing rotating, bringing its prism of light into reality. It's amazing.
Did you have to mine all those 60 issues of Science to Sage magazine and pull pieces from that? Or did you have to do a mix of mining and more research?
The book started, the revelation when I was living in Vancouver, BC. That was 10 years ago. And I think at that point, I may have done maybe 5 magazines. So I would say that not only have I been guided in how I even evolve the magazines, because the interesting thing is not like a body science magazine. It takes you on an adventure. It's taking you on my adventure and my unfoldment. So that's kind of the conundrum of the magazine. It is an adventure of the exploration and discovering. The people that showed up along the way, some are really well known and others are not. And they have been just as much, and if not so more, my guiding light. So my dyslexic brain likes one thing. Being dyslexic, it loves finding patterns. Mm-hmm. And when I see the weave and the webs and how they connect, that was part of the gift for me doing the book. Why I get like it's like when I heard it's like, I'm dyslexic. What are you thinking? And then when I started doing the magazine, it was like, oh, I can do it like a picture book. And so after I'd started the magazine, then I went back and I went, what if I just kind of start? And I start doing it this way. And then I didn't, thinking all these free images were free and I didn't have to document to go back. And every time I went back, there was another piece of the puzzle too. You just never knew where the stuff was coming from. Mm. And I couldn't understand this, Andrew. Why weren't other people weaving disciplines when each one was riveting and referencing the other, but everybody was dividing and conquering as opposed to synthesizing?
Yeah. Karen, I'm going to hold you there because we need to go to break now. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest today is award-winning author, speaker, researcher, Karen Elkins. And we're talking about her latest book, Inside Out, Revealing the Mysteries of Creation and the Wisdom to Live Your Life More Consciously Connected. We'll be back after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times flagship radio show, What Is Going On. As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library compiled by recognisable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys. Plus, free book excerpts, audios, and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who've walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, S-E-D-G-B-E-E-R.com. I'll see you there.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family. And then, boom! Everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, you know your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Karen Elkins, you've been conducting extensive research into the convergence of science, consciousness and world philosophies for a very long time. Probably, I would imagine, from the moment you could walk and talk. But I want to go back to that beginning and learn a little bit about you and what motivated you and led you towards this particular path.
I think I've always been curious. And I think when I... was in my early 20s, I knew I was not on a spiritual path, but I knew I needed to go. And I lived in L.A. at the time. I was very blessed to have walked into a learning annex class into a place called Agape, where Michael Beck mm-hmm. was taught.
Yeah.
And that when I walked in there, I knew I was home. And when I lived there in L.A. 14 years, I religiously went to church. And I loved that man's lessons. I loved the diversity. I loved the openness. And I just loved the whole thing. And then when we moved to Vancouver, BC, there was nothing really that quite matched. And my Muslim girlfriend said, let's go learn this Vedic stuff. So that took me on another journey. And then when I started a school for kids, I had a son who was gifted, but challenged in math in ways, and so I started a learning center for gifted and creative kids. And when I started doing that, I started seeing, as I was reworking the curriculum to make it more theme-based and global and hands-on, I started seeing all the webs and how everything connected. I can't even remember what I learned in high school or school anymore, and all of a sudden it was bringing things back to life. And then somebody said, if I like this Vedic stuff, you got to go see this Greg Braden guy. And I called to get a ticket, and the lady looked at me, and we talked. She says, you know, I've been told by a psychic I'm coming up to Vancouver to do events. And I said, well, I do conferences for the Gifted Association. Do you think I could do it with you? Give me a go. And we partnered for years, and we brought in Extraordinary People series. That's where I met Greg Braden and Don Miguel Ruiz, and we hosted Joe Dispenza. So I really got myself quite immersed in a very big way. And the magazine came from me just wanting to put buns in seats and to educate. And that was the beginning. And I just never quit being riveted and questioning what it was. And then how did it all go together? And then when I got that wake-up call, get out of bed, you're doing that, it was quite the gift. It's been quite the adventure. And it's not ending. It's still going on.
No, it certainly isn't. Tell me about Science to Sage magazine. I mean, you didn't have a magazine background, so it's quite something, you know, for someone who knows nothing about putting magazines together to create one. It's not an easy task. How did that come about?
You know what? I needed to put bums in seats for the event. And I thought, And actually, Michael Beckwith was the first one that Donna Vasaki suggested that we bring up. And I lived in lots of places. I lived in France and Spain, the Marshall. I lived around. You realize when you go to a particular city, the complexity and the makeup is different, to be quite honest. And Vancouver, B.C. is 65% Chinese. Michael Beckwith is Black. And I'm going, well, they know my favorite teacher. And so I thought, oh, that's what would it take? I just got my Mac. I'm really happy. I'm kind of play. I looked at formats. I said, I can do that. Well, and mind you, it's gotten better. So from the very beginning, I've hosted Lynn McTaggart as well. I didn't have any problem getting articles from the best of the best. So I was gifted that way when I started. The design work, I'm not a graphic designer, and so I just picked up and looked at what looked good, and I went with the flow. But then, mind you, I've never started a school before, and I did that too. I've never done a book before, I did that too. And I had an ad agency in L.A. for 23 years, and I don't have a degree in that either. I think with the way things are, I've just been a person who has stepped in, stepped out, and I've learned by trial and error. It doesn't take me long, and I just do it. I mean, I'm a do bug. So I just look at what needs to be done, and I do it. I don't need, I just do it.
So, I mean, the book is like an encyclopedia. It has so many topics. Was there any particular segment that just, you know, excited you more than any other?
There were two things. I think the part that excited me was interesting is water. Because we think of it as being just, oh, I'm going to go get myself a glass of water. And then I have done like 5 or 6 different issues exclusively on water, mm-hmm. guided by a gentleman by the name of Gerald Pollack. And Jerry would call me and say, you know, go help this person or that. And I would get the best articles from the most profound people in water. And when you realized the complexity, how it holds memory, this is beyond just Emoto's work. This is that every drop of water has a dipole nature. Your body has dipole. It's what the same thing that this magnetic field that actually moves and spins the world. And when you realize water does that, and that inside every drop of water is this whole civilization. So I have a book I did with a gentleman where you can see pyramids, you can see crosses, everything that you see everywhere in the planet. Visually, a fern is sitting in a drop of water. The interesting part with Emoto's work is when you looked at water, whether you were drinking it from Fukushima or the Alps, one looked like it was corrupted, it had no form, and others looked like the most perfect snowflake. But this is literally the light and the geometry and the shape that you are consuming. But not only do you do that, we do that when we speak. We speak geometry. We speak it into the matrix. So all of these shapes and sound going through the ether, which is a finer form of water, is all part of this amazing matrix. So water was kind of the one that put me on my ear, because that's where things are evolving and these particles are arranging, making form and coming to light. So the water part was riveting, and it still is to me.
Yeah, the water part was really interesting to me. I mean, I've been fascinated by water for a long time, and I may have told this story before, but many years ago, and I'm probably going back about 25 or maybe even 30 years, watching a science program on television in England, and it was a series called The Heretics, and they were looking at various different scientists, one of whom was Jacques Benveniste. And at the end of this whole story about Benveniste, who ended up being struck off all of the scientific academies and, you know, just being an outcast, but he had accidentally in an experiment come across some evidence that water held memory. And I remember being riveted because I was studying homeopathy at the time. And I thought, there's the answer. That tells us why homeopathy works. Because it's the memory factor. And everybody thought I was crazy. But there it was. And Benveniste is in your book. And, you know, when we're looking at the many people think now with the climate change that we are going to run out of water. But I have a friend who's a scientist who sat on panels with Bruce Lipton and others who has a theory about where water comes from. And she's somebody that you should talk to for your magazine because, you know, you're talking about Mangia?
Are you talking about primary water?
Yes, absolutely.
And you have to think the Bible even talks about water coming from the center of the earth. And if you look at how the different layers, then you know, when people mine, they actually, water comes gushing up. They don't know where it comes from. So, there is a thing called primary water. And going back to Baptiste, which is really interesting, if you hold a glass of water and I hold a glass of water in the same room and we test that water, it will have a different shape when you hit and you look at the drop of water. So water holds the resonance energies, and it is the most, that's why they actually call it the solution for life. And it literally does clean and cleanse. It's a most remarkable thing. And that's why the ancients considered it sacred. Because it was it. It is the sacred part that holds life.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, going back to Linda Goodman's, it was Linda Goodman, the astrologer, going back to her book, that was the first place I heard about solarized water. I used to buy red glasses and I'd put water in them and I'd put saran wrap over the top and I'd put them out in the sun and then I'd drink that water. And she said you could do the same with blue glasses if you wanted to, you know, increase metabolism or increase energy, you'd use red. And if you wanted a decrease or calm, you'd use blue. And again, we're looking at light, we're looking at color, and we're looking at water.
Yeah. There's a guy named Denshaw who was interesting at the turn of the century. He, I think originally from India, came here, created color therapy, and just like people like Royal Rife, whose stuff got taken away and got missed, this guy was put in jail, and anybody who practiced it was considered a quack. And it's amazing to what level they burned his books, too. Now, there's somebody called Gary Buchanan who does a soma therapy, and he puts water, color, light, and sound. And you can actually look his website up, and you will find frequencies on the internet for healing. This is not new. It's just not as known.
The other part that fascinated me of your book was the sound. I'd recently been doing some research into John Stuart Reed's work. I was writing about Stuart Mitchell and his DNA sound music, and in fact I got addicted to listening to the samples of his music of DNA, and it was just so beautiful, just so calming.
He passed, do you know that, about a year ago?
I didn't know that.
Stuart Mitchell passed away. And he, for my trailer, for my book, he allowed me to use the opening sonnet for the of his music, which if you people know of the Roslyn Chapel, embedded in the pillars are these called musical glyphs. They didn't know what it was, and it's turned out that they are cymatics, the science of sound, where he then took them with his dad and John Stuart Reed and decoded these pillars, and then he created a sonnet for it where people can, you can actually look it up on the internet, and you will see A-E-I-O-U and its shape. You will hear his music that he literally played in the Roslyn Chapel. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. John Stuart Reed and both have been in the magazines many times. So it goes back to the concept of harmonic evolution and how we come and how they say, with the word came, the logos came creation, and sound comes to light. So there you go.
Have you come across the work that John Stuart Mead has done with the dolphin sounds?
Yeah, that was actually one of my very first issues. Yes, definitely. Mm.
Yeah,
and you can
yeah.
see that there's pictures where you can see the dolphins projecting into space, and you can see the geometry of it. The other thing he did not too long ago at the water conference for Pollock, he did a presentation that showed the holographic nature of a person sort of walking through and that what it was projecting on the water. So, yeah, that goes back to me as, yes, it's all ether. Yes, we're projecting the light-colored particle sound into a field that a lot of people would call the living matrix. Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Yes, yeah. absolutely. Yeah, well, it's easy to see what gets you out of bed in the morning is this intense curiosity and the thirst for knowledge and sharing it.
I'm riveted by it, and everything is like, I know what my next magazine's going to be, because it starts with the Roslyn Chapel, because it is the next thing. They explain why the ceiling was healing. So they always say the Roslyn Chapel is healing. And I was working with, I talk a lot on Saturday mornings with a friend who's a scientist, and she looked at what I was playing with, and she goes, "Did you know that Roslyn Chapel is the same graphic design as a Bodini healing device?" And we just started talking about, but it has resonant nature. It has the sound bowl effect, and it's designed with the bowls. And then you realize that the Roslyn Chapel actually has technology from all over the world. And that's amazing when you actually realize that the Templars did sail around the world. They did bring things back, and embedded in there is corn and all kinds of crazy things and dragons, things from all over the world. So it's serpent. I think we've been circumnavigating the world for a much longer time than we'd like to give credit for.
For sure. Yeah, we're just rediscovering. We're not learning anything new. We're just rediscovering
it. I think
it.
You're so right.
Yeah. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with award-winning author, researcher, event producer, and creator publisher of Science to Sage magazine, Karen Elkins. We're talking about her latest project, the stunningly beautiful book, Inside Out, Revealing the Mysteries of Creation, which Greg Braden claims is destined to become a cornerstone for teaching the unified science of the new millennium. We'll be back with more from Karen Elkins after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Karen Elkins, you have some big ideas based on your book Inside Out and Science to Sage magazine. Tell us about those ideas.
You know what? I always thought with the magazines and the book that it could become a living museum. So I used to love, I don't know if a lot of people are aware, there's those DK eyewitness videos that kids used to watch, and they used to sort of take you into a museum.
And I think because so much of what we consider is woo-woo, wouldn't it be absolutely amazing if we created a museum where people could actually touch, see, feel the exchange, see the new water science, and how the magnetic fields work, and a way of understanding our place in the universe and how it's all connected. And the other idea is the last chapter of the book kind of beckons a question that there are common roots, R-U-T-E, to our roots. And in there are, as Joseph Campbell discovered, just commonalities everywhere on this planet. And the idea that I can, and I have, sort of suggested what a movie could be like that would show us not only that, but how it plays into inner technology and how it will create the outer technology we need to change the world that would take us off of fossil fuels and other things. So all of that technology does exist, but it is basically still alchemic, and it still operates all on the same principles as how our own body, because everything is made out of the same stuff. And most of the technology we do have is based on our inner technology. That's where we get those quote-unquote insights. And so I think we can actually create a new TV series or a new series for kids and adults to understand the take the woo-woo, show the science, interact and interplay in ways that we've not seen before. That's the bigger vision.
Wow. And it makes so much sense. I mean, when you think about museums today, this is just, you know, the new millennium version of a museum. We've got so many museums to the past. This is something that isn't just about the past. It's about everything, all of it, past, future, you know, other dimensions and beyond. And I think it's something that today's kids are really ready for.
I think, you know, when I was working on the book and I'd sit at an airport here and there trying to do something, it didn't matter what religion they were from, Jehovah's Witness to Mormons, you name it, they would pick up the book. And my girlfriend, who's a devout Christian, says, there's nothing in here that's offensive. Nobody does. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. That's right. And it is a way to bridge the gaps between the cultures, because I do in the book bring up multiple traditions, multiple cultures, the common ground that we do have, because we're all talking about the living water, the living light, and how it is that we come into existence. So I think it's an opportunity to bridge the gap and to reinvite that conversation. Because just because somebody says you can only get it because you've got a revelation, or, I mean, God's in all of us. God's in everything. That's how he creates and makes. So it's not separate from you. You are one with your maker. He made you. He's made you out of the same stuff. He's made everything.
What would it take for this to happen? What do you need?
You know what I need? I one would be funding, for sure, and a visionary team that what I see is the technology and simple things that could be so riveting in a museum like this, where it's bigger than life. So a good visioning team, which I've actually done most of it. I've already, I've already done a 90-page visual presentation for both the movie concept as well as the museum concept. So that's done. But I think I always say that this or something better, and they're always a good team. When I used to do fashion, it's like I'd always be prepped, but I'd always be surprised for how much more magnificent something could be. So good team. A good team, good money, and people with a good heart, good integrity, who would like to see that come through.
What an exciting project to be working on. I'd love to be involved in that. That's right up my street. It's the sort of thing that would get me out of bed in the morning. Okay, so money, a really good team. What about all of these wonderful scientists and thinkers that you've been working with? Have you talked to them about your idea? Are they on board?
No, they're on board. They're on board, and they're part of the advisory board. And I've maintained really good relationships with all of these people. And you know, I think this would bring the new science of living to light, and really bring to fruition what we're responsible and for ourselves and who and what and how we bring things. I mean, I think that's really the message of even somebody like Bruce Lipton these days. It's like be in phase with people, be aligned with it, be in integrity, be true to who you are, because all of it, it makes up all your either dis-ease or not. And and what we do to the planet, then we start looking at it. I think one of the things that you, Sandra, that was really cool for me when I was looking, when we look at DNA, you like the music of it. Mm-hmm. We always look at it, but we never look at it as a cross section. When you look at it as a cross section, it literally is a flower. When we spin through space and time as a planet and the whole system, and you look at it as a cross-section, there's these great little books called Wooden Books, and they talk about the geometry of space and how we spin. And it shows the geometry of our space spinning. And that's why the Venus blueprint talks about how when we spin around Venus, what does it look like? It's a five. It's five. It's vibration. That's where some of the understanding of our place in space is. So everything is still geometry in motion. And even the poles of Jupiter have hexagons. That's sound, that's frequency, that's everything, and we're all mixed up in it. It's neat.
It's so interesting too. I mean, when you look back in history and you look at Pythagoras, who was, you know, had a color school and was talking about all of this, and they didn't have the technology that we have where we can actually, you know, view some of the planets. It's amazing how they knew about it.
Well, from my perspective looking at, I love right now, I'm actually in the middle of reading a book called Freddie Silva's On the Missing Land, and my last chapter of my book hints at things, but Freddie really researches. And he basically talks about, you know, we talk about the different ages, which I do mention in the book, the ages or the yugas or whatever, when we've gone through. There are mm-hmm. so many anomalies in megalithic structures that we're not really talking about. But Freddie does an amazing job lacing the entire world together, taking us back to Atlantis, taking us back to the stories of all the peoples of the planet and how they're all laced together. So I actually think we were brought civilization. That is in every story of every culture. So they must have at one point in time, something came here and something in their little chariot and mm-hmm. advised us. So for us not to think from it from that perspective. So from their perspective, looking down at us, they knew it all. They gave it to us at one point in time, and then through the, you know, we talk about climate change, we're talking about galactic changes as well. So we were riveted, we were pulled. We have had problems with sea, polar shifts, and all these other things. Those are the things actually we should be looking at as well.
Yeah.
Because this is a turning of an age, and without any preparation or without any thought or thinking locally when things happen, and we could be going into a mini ice age. The fires are predicting some of these things or foretelling. So I think we need to be a little bit wiser with that. So I actually do think that they did have some of the wisdom. They did have the knowledge, and they're pulling from ancient stuff.
Yeah. So you can tell us that. Tell us about the book itself. I mean, you self-published this book. It is not cheap, but my goodness, it's a book to hold on to for life. You wouldn't want to part with this book. So tell us a little bit about it and how people can get the book.
You know that if you go to insideoutbook.com, there's a lots of different ways. So I have printed a bunch of these. They're also available on Amazon. I've done it that way so that people internationally don't have to pay for shipping. But they're not glossy. Ingram is printing them. So if you're in Canada, I have Banyan Books that has them. And there is a digital one online as well. So insideoutbook.com would be the best way to give you the alternative ways of purchasing the book. Thank you for asking.
You know, digital is great. It gives you a wonderful idea of what the book is about. Doesn't compare to having a copy in your hand. Not by any means. So I can imagine lots of people would like to have a hard copy of that.
Yeah, it's funny. She said the coffee table book. I have a couple of girlfriends who have it on their coffee table, and their guests, they call me and go, they leave the room, they take the book, then they come out, and they go, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, you could pick up a page. I do prefer people start from the beginning because it actually allows you to see the synthesis of ideas as it flows through. But, yes, you could pick any part of the book up and get some gleam of information from it. Because it is. Mm-hmm. It is like an encyclopedia of A through Z. Let me take you through the creation process, for sure.
So did you get any message from this voice, the voice that prompted you to create the book when it was done? Did you get a pat on the back, well done, or oops, you missed a bit?
No, here's actually Sandra Gazzara. Okay, my question back to the voice was, okay, I did it. I pursued it. I made tons of mistakes because I don't I'm not a publisher. I'm not a, like you said, a book person. So, I mean, I made plenty of my mistakes in it. And it's like, okay, now how do I get it out? I've done it. Now what do I do? So that's the next part. How do you, you do something. And it's given me some ideas. And part of it is the idea of the museum where I sit quiet and says, what do you need to do? And it's like that. And where to go. It's given me some ideas. And then I had a gentleman call me completely out of the blue the other day, and he says, I get dreams and phone numbers, and for some reason, I'm calling you. Who knows, right? So, I don't know.
Well,
and then I got you a year later, which is perfect. Here we are. And it's
yeah, and I can certainly attest it's a book that really does sell itself. I mean, once you start diving into it, I mean, you want to tell everybody about it, and you also want to make sure this is not a book I'm going to loan out. You know, you go get your own copy because you're not going to want to loan that out either. So it does sell itself. It is something that is well worth investigating. Did you discover, I mean, you obviously are very well read, very widely read. You can't put 60 issues of Science to Sage magazine together without learning an awful lot. In putting the book together, was there anything that you learned that really blew your mind that you hadn't known about?
I think it's the movie idea right now. It's the putting the technology together with... I think that's the thing that's coming to me right now. It's like actually is the movie idea, and it's the synthesis of what the magazine does. The magazine, I've done issues on technology, and I've done issues on ancient wisdom. And what's coming to me right now is that technology is sitting there in plain view, and I see it. From having done technological issues, learning about magnetism and different things like that, and that to me. Is the next either issue or the next something that I need to explore. And I do have technical advice. I do have people who are gifted in technology that are helping to guide me that I'll bring forth in it. So that to me is the part that would free humanity from what I'm going to call, as they say, apocalypse means lifting the veil. To what has been only gifted to a select few. And right now, we can lift the veil. There are so many people working on different parts of it. But because of the way my brain thinks, I'm synthesizing. I can see different things, and I can pull things together, and I can ask the people that I know, doesn't that go with that? Doesn't that go with that? So, mm-hmm. I think we can revolutionize, which is what's being called for us, to break through what I call the veil of secrecy, which has been hermetically sealed, where I think we can profoundly change the way we perceive, the way we do technology, the way we have inner technology. There's lots of people that do it, but you don't know why. So my book doesn't tell you how to do inner technology. What it basically says is, there is it. Here's the elements in it. And if you look at Eastern traditions, the breath, what you say, how you do, all that stuff makes a difference. So, but I love the next coming. The next coming is going to be good.
Mm. So, very briefly, because we're almost out of time, if you wanted to give one message to readers who are looking at this coming year and everything that's going on in the world today, threats of war, you name it, Armageddon, with everything that you've learned and everything that you know, what message would you share with people?
You know what? I think the thing that comes to mind is to go within, to be in peace, but also at the same time, don't be passive. Everything that I've ever done, I've had to get off my butt and go do it. So it's not a time to be passive, be at peace with it, go within, breathe it, see it. And I think some of the turmoil that we're seeing, or I'm hoping from the people that I know, is that the stuff is going to become made evident. So I think this is a year where things are going to be uncovered. I think a lot of the things that we're not happy with are going to be exposed. And from there, we can start a clean slate. So every 100 years or so, there seems to be some form of evolution or revolution that we that we go through. And I think we're about ready to purge some of that and see what it is in its naked truth. So that's what I'm hoping this year happens, that then we can start living out of some of the new technology ways of that we can co-create together country to country. We can see our common roots and then work peacefully together.
Wonderful. And I would add to that, you know, all of that, and read the book, because the book will take you back to a place where you understand who and what you are. Karen Elkins, thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you. For more information about Inside Out, Revealing the Mysteries of Creation and the Wisdom to Live Your Life Consciously Connected, visit InsideOutBook.com. And don't forget the magazine Science to Sage. Very well worth checking out. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I'll be back at the same time next week with another episode of What Is Going On. I hope you'll join me then. Until then, it's goodbye from me.